Good morning to everyone. It's good to see everyone that's out. Got a few missing this morning that we usually plan on, but good to see everyone out that's here. We're going to talk this morning for a short while on a lesson that I have entitled, Meeting Together on the Lord's Day, as God has told us to, as compared to worshiping on the radio. Acts 20 and 7 is the verse that we'll use to set this up, where the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. My favorite radio station here in town is the radio station KCSA. It's 97.1 on the FM dial. It originates and is broadcast from the Hotel Cactus downtown. It was the brainchild and the pride and joy of my late friend Rick Whitworth. And he and his widow Kathy ran this thing and created it. And it's a radio station that plays Rick's tremendous library of music. You can hear swing music, Dorsey. You can hear easy listening music. You hear Sinatra, you hear Dean Martin, you hear classic country, you hear classic rock and early rock and roll. It is the absolute perfect format for music, and I love the radio station. However, during this pandemic that we have been into in the last couple of months, there's been a local preacher from town that advertises on this radio continually, and it seems every 30 minutes he's advertising. And his advertising says, join me at 10 o'clock this Sunday morning. We are going to have church. And he invites the entire city to join him in his church. The week before Easter, he was advertising every day, join us for church services on the radio this Easter morning and have your beverage of choice and a bread together because we are going to have a communion on the radio when we have our Easter service. He advertises these services as the perfect alternative to congregational worship. And here's where the problem starts. In his mind, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here, I think that in his mind he is very sincere that when he offers this alternative to worship, that he probably feels that he is doing the right thing, that he is pleasing God, that he is compromising in a way that God will be pleased with this radio worship. It's unfortunate, though, because this mindset or this mindset of people worshiping God in their living room, in their pajamas, with a cup of coffee and a biscuit in their lap, worshiping on the radio by themselves is something that people are going to enjoy, and they are enjoying it. And that's going to cause them to not reach out and to do as God has taught them to do. It's worrisome that people are so quick to compromise the desires and thoughts of God and sincerely attempt to alter and to change His worship into something that they feel comfortable with. Unfortunately, the Bible tells us that God does not authorize His people to worship Him scripturally on the radio. God commands that we congregate together. And we have followed that commandment even during this pandemic. Although we have shortened our services, we have done all of the items of worship that we have commanded to do. We're told to meet as a congregation upon the first day of the week. We've already read that in Acts 20 and 7. Hebrews 10 and 25 said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but encourage each other all the more as you see the day approaching. In this morning's lesson, we're going to talk about a few blessings that we have enjoyed here in this church personally by meeting together as God commanded, and blessings that are not available when we sit in our easy chair and try and worship God on the radio. There is wisdom in God's Word. God has set His laws and His commandments up for a reason, and there are blessings in the way that we worship. We're going to talk about that for a little while this morning, comparing worshiping as God has commanded, and worshiping on the radio. We're going to be speaking this morning on the subject of worshiping God on the radio or worshiping God in person as God has commanded that we do. And I'm glad to see Chris and Eunika and those boys and Kia come in because my very first point deals with children in the church. There's some very important aspects of congregational worship that's lost when we try and worship God on the radio. And I think that these things are worth discussing. Probably going to ramble a little bit this morning because I've just thrown down some thoughts here that I thought were interesting. And I'm going to try and talk about them a little bit. But there are some real blessings that we enjoy when we meet in the congregation as God has commanded us to do. And even though they may tout the radio as an alternative to worship, there's some things that will never be able to be the same if we even try to worship on the radio as compared to the congregation and the assembly. You know, there's one thing that you'll never hear on a radio broadcast. You'll never hear a baby make noise. You'll never hear a baby cry. And the fact is that babies do cry, and babies are restless, and babies make noise. It's natural. It's expected. It's just exactly the way God made them. I believe that one of the greatest blessings that we have as a church and a congregation is to have babies in our congregation. And to me, to hear a baby make noise, and the older I get, the more blessed the noise that a baby makes becomes. Because a baby is the greatest blessing that we have as Christians. Parents recognize that sometimes when a child gets real unruly that you're going to have to take them out. Because sometimes a child needs a little front porch instructions. I've raised three children in this church, and we've had some front porch instructions. My son Brian's raised three. He's had some front porch instructions. Terry raised four. Paul raised four. Peggy raised one. My mother raised three, and if I remember correctly, it seems that my daddy spent a lot of time with one of his kids out on the front porch making instructions. It's part of life. It's the way it is. Kids are noisy. It's the way that they are made. But if a baby is not heard crying or making noise in church, it means one thing. It means that there's no babies in church present to cry. And that's a very serious problem. A congregation without babies is a congregation that their best days are behind them and not in front of them. And we've got too many churches in our brotherhood today that have no babies. There's no young ones coming up. There's no one that's being taught and trained to come up and to be founded in the Word that will someday be able to take over for us old scudders and be able to get in here and be able to run this congregation. Babies are a blessing, and to hear a baby make noise to me is music. Good parents want their children to learn about their Heavenly Father. They want him to learn about the commandments. They want them to learn about Jesus and the way the church works. They want them to learn the gospel plan. And they bring their babies to church from their very earliest days. I want our babies to grow up to become church leaders. I want our babies to be very firmly grounded in the faith. I want our babies to learn to lead in the church because it's exactly what we want them to do. And I'm proud of our babies, and I love our babies, and I think it's probably the most blessed thing we have. I'm glad to see Chris and Eunika and Kia here, and I'm ready for Jasper to come back as well. A congregation without the sound of a baby's cry would indicate that their parents are not, that they do not put any importance on teaching their children about God. Good parents want their children to learn, and they bring them to church so that they can. Babies will eventually learn to be quiet. They will learn the perimeters. They will learn what they can do and cannot do. They will learn how far they can go before they are taken outside for a little front porch instruction. We've all heard the story of the little southern boy that he made as much noise as he could until finally his daddy grabbed him up and threw him on his shoulder and started walking outside. And they say that right before the little boy got to the door, he turned around and a very loud voice said, "Y'all pray for me." It's part of life. Children are noisy. They are the greatest blessing that we have. That's why when God set up his church and his plan, He didn't tell us to worship on the radio or on television or through a newspaper, but he said, I want you to all come together and I want you undivided in one spot. I want men and women together. I want babies and old people together. I want those that are new in the faith and those that are mature in the faith. I want them together. Churches that are divided into classes and churches that are divided into nurseries are the inventions of man, and they are not the inventions of God. Our babies are the greatest blessing that we had from God, and they are our future. Number two, here's something else that you can hear in a church that meets according to the prescribed plan of God that you cannot hear when you're listening to a speaker sitting in a studio reading from a prepared script that has no idea if or who is listening to it on the radio. You never hear the rustling of pages. You know, that's something that you can hear in a congregation that the Lord has created and people that are worshiping according to the way people are supposed to worship. You know, some people think that the greatest part of the lesson is when the preacher says, and in conclusion, but that's not always the case because most people come to church because they want to hear what is said. They want to be taught. They want to understand. They want to increase their knowledge of the Bible. Acts 17 and 11 describes and talks about the members of the church in Thessalonica. This passage in Acts 17 and 11 says, and those that received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were true. These were people that had someone stand before them and teach. But as they taught, these people at Thessalonica took down the references and they turned the pages in their Bible. You heard shuffling pages as they turned to read to determine that what the preacher said was true. Now I can tell you right now, I don't want anybody to believe a word I say until you have looked it up in your Bible and determined that I am telling you the truth because I am fallible. And I don't want anybody believing me until they have validated. I think it was Ronald Reagan that said, trust but verify. When you hear rustling pages in a congregation, you have people that are checking the speaker out to be sure that the things they tell and the things that they say are true. You also hear the rustling pages, and we get an example from Jesus from this in Luke 4 chapter in the 17th verse. Jesus was in the synagogue teaching to the people, and he had a subject that he wanted to talk about. It says that Jesus thumbed through the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So he found a foundation that he could start with out of the book of Isaiah. And when he found this foundation and the words of the prophet that these people in the synagogue knew, Jesus began to teach a lesson from this foundation. Christians read their Bibles. Christians mark their Bibles. They memorize their Bibles. And it is our intent to live according to our Bibles. Pages can be heard rustling in the church that meets and worships as God commands. You don't hear any pages. You don't hear the pages rustling when somebody's trying to worship God on the radio. Third thought that I'd like to talk to you about. Sometimes in the church that's meeting according to the scriptures as God has given them, you find people taking notes. You see people writing notes as the speaker talks, possibly to go back and validate what the speaker has said. We have children taking notes, and this is especially important. It's encouraging for a teacher to see church members listening and paying attention. It's encouraging to see church members taking notes. Now, we teach the meat of the gospel and we teach the milk of the gospel because the church is one group undivided of those that are very young and those that are mature in the gospel. So both things have to be taught. You have to teach the basics, but you also need to get into the meatier parts of the gospel. A child that is taking notes when a teacher is talking about the meatier parts of the gospel probably is listening to a concept that they do not understand. But as they write these notes down as the teacher talks, and they put them away, someday they'll go back and read those notes. And as they become more spiritually mature, they're going to understand the notes, and they're going to understand then the words that are said. It's just possible that maybe when, it may be years down the road when these notes are looked at again, but it may be a young mother that's teaching her child about the concepts of the notes that were written down years before. I think that probably many young speakers, as they first approach the pulpit to talk, are probably going to be clutching some of those old notes that maybe they wrote down many, many years before and didn't really fully understand at the time. But now they do understand because of spiritual maturity, and they're now using these notes to teach the gospel to an entirely different group of people. When you write a note down that a teacher says, even if the concept is not fully understood, a seed has been planted, a foundation has been set, and from this they can grow. Point I'm trying to make with this is that the truth never ages. It's only recycled. There is absolutely nothing new that we can stand up here today and teach out of this Bible. The freshest word in our Bible is almost 2,000 years old, and some of them are twice that old. There's nothing new in this Bible. And according to Galatians 1, Paul said, if anybody teaches you something that's different than what we have taught you, let it be accursed, because it's not new. It's simply a revision and an amendment. The truth never ages. It just needs to be recycled, because every word in this Bible is old. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says that even though it's old, that every word is perfect. That the Bible is complete. That an individual might be perfectly and completely satisfied in his salvation by reading the words of the Bible. The truth never ages. It simply needs to be recycled. Another thing I speak about here, and this is probably something that no one but a speaker would ever notice, but sometimes when a speaker is speaking, someone will encourage him. Now, I've been in churches where a statement might be made, and you would hear a gusty amen from the back. Some old man would speak up and yell amen, and you knew that you had just made a point that this man agreed with. And it's good. It's good, because a speaker needs encouragement. It takes time to write up a lesson. It takes time to study it. And it takes a little bit of courage to get up and to get it. And then you've got the words that James says, that a speaker can receive the greater condemnation if he speaks words that are untrue. So there's a lot of things behind speaking in a public assembly and teaching to the church. A teacher needs encouragement. In a church where everybody meets together as God has told us to do, and I have noticed this, I have made a point, and there might be a sister somewhere in the church that would kind of nod their head or smile. That's encouraging. You know, that old man on the back row can scream amen all he wants to, and that's absolutely all right. He can do that. That is his authority as being a man and a member of the church. But a woman can't do that. Because a woman is commanded to be silent in the church and to learn in silence. In fact, it is said that for a woman to speak in the services of the church is wrong, and God does not allow it. You know, we go to the first book of Timothy, and we read from the second chapter, starting with verse 11 through verse 15, and this is all explained to us. God said that Adam was created first and woman second, and he said Eve sinned first and Adam second. And with these thoughts in mind, this one verse, then he goes on to say that it is wrong for a woman to speak in the church, that they must learn in silence, and the rules are set. I don't know why God said it like that. I don't know why he established these rules. I don't know if there were any other influences that established this, but I do know exactly what he said in 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 15, and in faith we obey the words of God. Now, that's not to say that any woman in this congregation couldn't do a better job up here speaking than me. But we do this because that's the way God set it up. We do it because that's what God commanded. And we do it because we obey the words of the Lord in faith. You don't see nods and smiles of approval from the women when you're trying to worship on the radio. That's something you see. That is a blessing that you see only in the communion and only in the congregation of the church as they have gathered as God has told us to do. This next point is one that is very frustrating to me, and it's frustrating because it is so wrong, and it is frustrating because it is misleading. This minister on 97.1, my favorite radio station, before Easter, continually made the advertisement the week before. He said, join me on Easter morning at 10 o'clock. He said, we are going to have our short service. He said, it'll be a short non-denominational message, and we'll have a couple of songs. And he said, we're going to have some prayers, but he said, we're going to have a special deal on Easter Sunday. We're going to have communion. So he tells everybody, he said, get your favorite beverage together and get you a bread of some type, because on Easter Sunday, we are going to have communion on the radio. This is hard for me to understand, and it's hard for me to take. The Lord's Supper is not something that is scripturally accomplished with the choice of beverage and a slice of bread when we are listening to the radio in our easy chair on a Sunday morning by ourselves worshiping on the radio. The communion service is scriptural only when it is accomplished according to the plans of God, when we meet together and commune together as one. The definition of the word communion by Webster's Dictionary is a close fellowship, an intimate association, a group who comprise such a fellowship as a Christian means. That's what communion means, when everyone gathers together, not someone that sits in his easy chair trying to worship God on the radio. The scriptural beverage that we are to use is the fruit of the vine. The scriptural bread that we are to use, according to the gospel, is unleavened bread. That means bread without any type of a rising agent in it. That means no yeast, no baking powder, no cream of tartar. Nothing that would cause bread to rise is allowed in the communion service of the church. God said use unleavened bread. This really limits our choice of beverage and our choice of bread. But the worst thing about what he was trying to teach to people in this alternative religious service was the fact to change the Lord's Supper, the communion, is to blaspheme the Lord's Supper. I can go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29, and I read a very plain warning. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And then verse 29 brings a head to it all and puts a conclusion to it. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's bodies. These are very serious words, my friends. These are words that are not to be minimized. These are words that are not to be changed. These are words that are not to be amended. These are words that are not to be taken lightly. And communion is when the church meets together and communes as the Lord has told them to do. You don't do that over the radio in the easy chair with your choice of bread and beverage by yourself. One last thing, and then I'll close this out. When people meet together in the church as a congregation, as God has told them to do, there is a great blessing involved. Because as the teacher teaches, an individual hears. The Bible tells us that those that hear, this leads to belief. Belief leads to repentance. Repentance leads to confession. Confession leads to baptism. A baptism, the immersion, and then when the creature arises from the water, the Bible says he arises a new creation. Acts 2 tells us that God then will add to the church daily such as should be saved. These are the real things that happen in the service of the Lord's church when members meet and worship and commune together as God has told them to do. They are extended the opportunity to respond to the gospel call. When an individual that is out of duty is in the church and he hears the words of the Bible taught, it pricks their heart. They come forward. They have the opportunity to say, I've fallen in my duty. I need to repent. And I need the prayers of the faithful to restore me to where I need to be. These are real things that happen in the church when people obey and commune and worship as God has commanded them to do. I don't have any problem to get someone teaching on the radio as long as they're teaching the truth. I don't have a problem with anybody preaching on the internet as long as they're preaching the truth. Absolutely nothing wrong with preaching on television as long as you're preaching the truth. The problem arises when you say we're going to preach on the radio and this will be an alternative worship service and we invite everyone to worship with us on the radio instead of going to church as God has commanded. The radio, the internet, and the television, these are all unscriptural ways of worship. They are not authorized by God. They do not replace His holy plan for the worship of His church. And even though a man may be perfectly sincere in what he's trying to do, he may be perfectly sincere in the compromise that he's trying to make to suit themselves, we do not compromise the Word of God. Now the worldly nations and the worldly governments, be they city, county, state, and federal, have all embraced this internet worship. They have all embraced this radio and television worship. And they think it's the most wonderful thing that has ever happened. The vast majority of people in this nation that worship are worshiping on the radio or the internet because churches are closed down. But the fact is that if every person in the whole world stood up on this side, and every government in the whole world stirred up on this side and said, we're going to compromise and worship on the radio, and God stands over here by himself, God's still going to win. Because God is the one that created, God is the one that makes the rules, God is the one that enforces the rules, and it makes no difference how many people or organizations stand up, they cannot stand up and win against God. The Bible says that not one jot or one tittle of God's holy word will ever be changed because God will always rule. I think people are getting to enjoy this convenience of worshiping on the radio or the television or the internet. I think they kind of like sitting around in their pajamas and their easy chair with a cup of coffee in one hand and a biscuit in the other as they worship God. But we need to understand as Christians that we cannot be misled by this. There is no alternative worship that is allowed according to God. God sets the rules and He told us how to worship, when to worship on the first day of the week, and how to conduct our services in His holy word. Don't be misled by the unscriptural false teachings that the world produces and promotes. Don't be misled by the false practices that these people, even though sincerely and ignorantly they are promoting, because God is not pleased when we compromise His commandments. And these things are not the work of God. They're the work of Satan. Thus concludes a few short remarks. Forgive my rambling, but these are just some things that I thought we needed to understand because we've got some serious blessings that we're able to enjoy when we commune and when we meet and we worship as God has told us to do. If there's anyone in the church who needs the help of the church, come forward as we say.